Shalom and Yeshua. This is Rabbeen Deborah Brandt, and we are continuing our series on intercessory prayer, spiritual warfare, and how to minister the word of God to those around us, our friends, relatives. So we're going to look at spiritual warfare, part one, introduction. Even though Yeshua has already defeated HaSatan, the enemy never gives up on destroying the work of Yahweh Elohim on the earth. Via problems in our lives, attacks upon us, distractions. He wants us to focus on ourselves instead of on Yahweh Elohim and his word. He wants us to focus on our abilities instead of Yahweh Elohim's abilities. He wants us to focus on our weaknesses instead of Yahweh Elohim's strengths. And he wants us to focus on our shortcomings instead of who we are in Messiah Yeshua. 2 Corinthians 10:4, I'm reading from several different translations. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds. We are tearing down false arguments. And this is a Tree of Life version. And then the Amplified translation is, just a second here, I want to turn my sound off on my phone so we're not distracted. The Amplified says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty through God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. The Complete Jewish Bible, because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have God's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments. And the New American Standard, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So the Father has given us spiritual weapons that we are to use in our spiritual battles here on earth as we are going forward to, again, bring the good news of the gospel, to do his word here upon the earth, to fulfill our assignment. Again, Yeshua has already defeated HaSatan. We are no match for HaSatan, but in the name of Yeshua, the Father has already given us the weapons to defeat him. So we defeat him, we take authority in the name of Yeshua. We come to the Father in the name of Yeshua. We defeat the enemy in the name of Yeshua. We are in a war, whether we like it or not. Worship is part of our mandate, Ephesians 3, 9 to 12. Again, two different translations. Tree of Life, the purpose is that through Messiah's community, the multifaceted wisdom of God may be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So again, this is talking about in the realm of the Spirit, which is in keeping with the eternal purpose that are carried out in Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord. In him, we have boldness and access with confidence through trusting in him. The Amplified, the purpose is that through the church or the congregation, Kahila, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose, which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Messiah Yeshua, our Lord, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have boldness, courage, and confidence, a free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So we can come before the throne of Yahweh Elohim, his, which is referred to as a throne of grace or chesed, in the name of Yeshua, because of, again, who we are in Messiah and because we are redeemed, again, with our requests and coming before the Father. We are called to show forth and display the power of Yahweh Elohim to the forces of darkness. Again, we see that example in Daniel 3:28. And Daniel 6:22. Again, Daniel 3:28, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace, yet Yahweh preserving their life and not even being singed. And it was a witness to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Same thing in Daniel 6:22. He closed the mouths of the lions so they could not harm Daniel. Again, this was a witness and testimony to the king, the power of Yahweh. Colossians 2:14, this is the complete Jewish Bible. He wiped away the bill of charges against us because of the regulations. It stood as a testimony against us, but he removed it by nailing it to the execution stake. Stripping the rulers and authorities of their power, he made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them by means of the stake. So again, that bill of charges against us was, again, our sin, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Talks about the curse of the law, the curses that came upon those who did not do Yahweh's word or walk in accordance with Yahweh. Well, Yeshua wiped away, again, those bills of charges, which every single person, again, is guilty before God's eyes. But in Messiah Yeshua, we have become righteous. And because of this as well, the power has no authority or enemy or authority or accusations to come against us because of who we are in Messiah. And again, he took all power and authority. He stripped from them. Yeshua stripped from them when he went down and defeated those principalities of power, stripped them of those powers of anyone who is in Messiah Yeshua. The Tree of Life said he wiped out the handwritten record of debts. Again, what are debts of sin with decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross. After disarming the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross, again, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Reasons for spiritual warfare: to open doors, Colossians 4:2-3. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, keep praying for us as well, that God or Yahweh Elohim may open to us a door for the message to proclaim the mystery of Messiah, which I am in prison. So we are to pray and intercede and for our leadership, for our ministries, for our assignments, again, that God would open us a door of opportunity to share the good news of the Messiah and make disciples. Ephesians 6:18-19, again, this is Tree of Life. Pray in the Ruach on every occasion. Ruach meaning spirit, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Kedoshim, Kedoshim referring to Yahweh's people, and pray for me when I open my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the good news. So again, we need to pray for the leadership, for those who are on the front of the battle lines, again, for boldness to open our mouths and to speak forth the word of God without fear. 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door has opened wide for me, though many are in opposition, and other translations, but with many adversaries. So again, we need to, those, you know, the job of the intercessor, again, is to pray in the spirit. Pray so the angels are loose to do, again, the fear of the battle in the heavenlies. For leadership and those in authority, again, we are to pray for leadership and those in authority so that we are not blocked by the leaders of the land to preach the Besorah or gospel. Again, we are seeing many spiritual battles going on, trying to hinder God's people from the freedom of preaching the gospel, proclaiming Messiah on the streets, praying in public, etc., doing spiritual warfare for souls to be saved. Again, we need to intercede. It starts in spiritual prayer. Spiritual intercession, spiritual warfare lays the groundwork for being able to share the word and have that open door and give people hearts to receive. 1 Timothy 2:1-4, again, Tree of Life. Therefore, first of all, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority. So we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and respectfulness. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, which is referring to Yeshua, our Savior. Yahweh and Yeshua are one. The Father, Son, Ruach HaKodesh are one. He desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So again, this starts with prayer and intercession. How? By requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. Why? So that the door will open. People will, their hearts will be open to come into the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Physical acts and spiritual warfare. Again, these acts are as led by the Ruach HaKodesh and not the flesh. We can't work up these things. They have to be spirit-led. First of all, praise and worship. Psalm 149:6, let God's high praises be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So here we see worship and warfare going hand in hand. 2 Chronicles 20:21-22. After consulting with the people, he appointed singers to Adonai, praising the splendor of his holiness as they went out before the army, saying, praise Adonai, for his mercy endures forever. As they began singing and praising, Adonai set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So here you see before the physical warfare, there was spiritual warfare in the form of praise and worship. The dancing before the Father. Psalm 30:12-13, you turned my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. So my glory will sing to you and not be silent. Adonai, my God, I will praise you forever. Again, this is a form of spiritual worship. In dancing before the Lord, again, as led by the Ruach HaKodesh. Jeremiah 31:12, they will come and sing on Zion's height, radiant over the bounty of Adonai, over the grain, the wine, the oil, and the young of the flock. Their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish. Exodus 15:20-21, then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. As Miriam sang to them, sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So here we see, again, Miriam leading the women in dancing and playing the tambourines before the Lord as an act of worship and thanksgiving for what he has done. 2 Samuel 6:14-16. Meanwhile, David was dancing before Adonai with all his might while he was wearing a linen ephod. So David and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of Adonai with shouting and with the sound of the shofar. But as the Ark of Adonai entered the city of David, Saul's daughter Michal looked out the window and saw the king David leaping and dancing before Adonai. So she despised him in her heart. And we see she was judged by that. But we see what was the reason for David dancing. He was rejoicing, showing forth his joy of the Ark being brought back into Israel. And his wife despised him for this open display. You know, we need to be careful not to despise people if Yahweh leads them into dancing before him because of their joy, because of their thanksgiving to Yahweh Adonai for what he has done. Groaning. Now, this is groaning during prayer. Again, this isn't something you manifest. This is something that is through the Ruach HaKodesh. We see in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Ruach helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. Now, this has happened to me, you know, many times, especially just recently, I was woke up about 2:30 in the morning. And again, this certain person came to my mind. I saw their face, and I just started having a deep groaning within the Ruach. I wasn't making a physical noise. It was just a feeling, again, in my spirit, just kind of just like a depth of, I don't know how to explain it, anguish or a groaning, again, too deep for words. And I just started praying in the spirit and praying for this person until it lifted. Galatians 4:19, my dear children, again, I suffer labor pains until Messiah is formed in you. So here Shaul's talking about, again, the spiritual labor pains. Okay, talking about intercession, laboring in prayer for the disciples, again, the under him, the Talmudim, the people that were coming to faith in Messiah. Why? So Messiah would be formed in them. Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his life on earth, Yeshua offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Again, our perfect example of intercession is Yeshua. He prayed every day. He got alone by himself with the Father to pray early in the morning. Again, on the night he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he again sweated great drops of blood due to the spiritual pressure, what he was going to face on taking on the sins of the world. And I'm sure there was a groaning in his spirit, but totally submitted to God's will. Yet not my will, but your will be done. And yet he is our example of being a prayer warrior, somebody. If Yeshua needed to spend time with the Father from whom he came from, how much more do we need to spend time with the Father in, you know, from whom we have been given spiritual life? Again, another form is weeping. Again, you can't force these emotions. Again, they come as you are just coming, before the Father in prayer. And there could be at times where you just, feel a compassion and a weeping for somebody. It'll just come naturally in the spirit. It's not something that you try to force. Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his life on earth, again, Yeshua offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Again, there's times in prayer where we may become very emotional. And there's nothing wrong with emotions. Again, as long as it is, again, from the Ruach and not the flesh. Judges 20:26, then all B'nai Israel went up, and all the people came to Bethel and wept and sat there before Adonai. They fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before Adonai. Again, sometimes that weeping is because of, again, a conviction of the Ruach upon our own lives as well, or a weeping for sorrow. Ezra 10:1, while Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of Yahweh. Sorry, didn't mean to go past that. Okay. Prostrating himself before the house of Yahweh, a very large assembly of Israelites, men, women, and children gathered around him, and the people also wept very bitterly. Why? Ezra was interceding because it was the sins of Israel that brought them into captivity, and now they were preparing to go back into the land. But again, he was praying and confessing sins, weeping over, again, the grieving over the sins that caused this captivity, and prostrating, laying flat on his face before Yahweh Elohim, shouting. 1 Samuel 17:20. So David rose up early in the morning, left the flock with the keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. Again, this was when he was a young man. When he reached the camp, the army was going out to battle line, shouting the war cry. So there was a spiritual war cry going forth through as Israel was ready to again enter into battle. 1 Samuel 4:5. Now, when the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai entered the camp, All Israel shouted with a great shout so that the ground resounded. I mean, just think of that. Their shout was so loud that it shook the ground. Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of Adonai is near, near and coming very quickly. The sound of the day of Adonai is bitter. The shouting of the warrior is there. Again, shouting a spiritual war cry, shouting out in the spirit. Hallelujah. Again, as led by the Ruach, praying the word. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. You know, I always tell people, you know, the two greatest ways to pray are in the spirit and with the word. Okay, those are, again, are the weapons of our warfare, the sword of the spirit, praying in the spirit, using the word of God, both in praying in the spirit and speaking forth the word. Again, we see that example of Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved his community and gave himself up for her to make her holy, having cleansed her by immersion in the word. So again, we pray the word, number one, to immerse ourselves in the word, but also to pray for our spouses, pray for our children, that they would be immersed and cleansed by the word of God. Putting on the armor of God or Yahweh Elohim, Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Again, this is where it starts. Our strength is in him. Put on the full armor of Yahweh Elohim so that you are able to stand against the schemes of HaSatan. Now, I believe that full armor is referring to, again, the clothing of the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, because if you study the clothing of the high priest, what he was called to do, again, be an intercessor, an intermediary between Israel and Yahweh Elohim, and again, a picture of Messiah Yeshua. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Again, this is spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Again, you cannot defeat them by the power of the flesh. You have to defeat them based upon the authority of Messiah Yeshua, his word, who you are a Messiah, against using the word of God, the weapons of our warfare. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil and after you have done everything to stand firm. Now, I heard somebody say that in the Greek, he's actually a very good, strong Greek scholar. He said in the Greek, this is in the form of a command to put on the armor and don't take it off. Stand firm then, buckle the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap up your feet in readiness with the good news of shalom. Above all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Ruach on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all Kedoshim. Again, sometimes in prayer, he will reveal to us things to come. John 16:13-15, but when the Spirit or Ruach of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will tell you, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take from me what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said the Ruach will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So here we see the whole Echad, the whole triunity of the Godhead mentioned in, again, the authority, again, that we have in prayer and how he will reveal things to us. again, on, you know, for our own personal lives regarding our calling, personal direction, you know, decision making. Could be a danger, a warning of something that's ahead. Again, this is something that, again, the more we pray, the more we become in tune with the Ruach Elohim, the more word we have in us, the more we are able to hear the voice of Yahweh Elohim, because the Ruach, the Spirit and the Word always agree. Angels and prayer. This is just, again, a little bit of I've just felt led to put this in, and we're going to look at it more later. But here we see angels at work with believers. Psalm 91:11 says that he will give his angels charge over us to guard us in all your ways. Again, it's as we are praying, as we are interceding, as we are speaking the word, it activates our angels again to watch over us, see that that word again is coming to pass. We see again in the book of Daniel, how when Daniel prayed, that it wasn't that his prayers weren't being answered right away. There was spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies that the angels, Yahweh's angels, had to fight in order to get through with the answer. Psalm 103:20, bless Adonai, you angels of him, mighty in strength, performing his word upon hearing the utterance of his word. So here we see that, again, the angels are activated by his word and performing what his word is saying to do. Numbers 20:16, but we cried out to Adonai. He heard our cry, sent an angel, and brought us out of Egypt. See now, we are a Kadesh, a town in the frontier of your territory. So here again, the angels working on behalf of Israel in the wilderness to bring them into, again, out of Egypt. Judges 13:2-6. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, from a Danite clan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bore no children. And the angel of Adonai appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, now you are barren and have not borne children, but you will conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. For behold, you will conceive and bear a son. Let no razor come upon his head, for the boy will be a Nazarite to Yahweh Elohim from the womb, and he will begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of Yahweh came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of Yahweh, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, nor did he tell me his name. So here we see, again, the angels were very active in the time of the Tanakh. Number one, they didn't have the written word of God, you know, like we do, the full counsel of God. But again, angels were very active, again, upon certain people's life. Again, this angel appeared to her for a purpose to announce to her the birth of this child and what his calling was and what how she was to they were to bring him up. We don't go seeking angels to appear to us, okay, because HaSatan can appear as an angel of light. So we need to test the spirits. We need to, again, if some manifestation comes, say, has Yeshua come in the flesh? An angel of Yahweh will say, yes, he has come in the flesh. A demonic spirit will say, will not agree with that, cannot say that. So we need to test, again, spiritual encounters. Number one, we can't be seeking them. It is as Yahweh wills, and it's always for a specific reason. And we see in Revelation, we see, again, an increase of angel activity in the end times, in the bringing about of God's judgments. 2 Kings 19:35, then it came about that night that the angel of Adonai went out and struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the men arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So here we see Yahweh's supernatural fighting on behalf of Israel to destroy their enemies. Yes, angels are capable of doing that. 1 Chronicles 21:15-16, and God or Yahweh Elohim sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. Why? This is because of judgment. While he was doing so, Adonai saw and was grieved over the calamity. He said to the destroying angel, "Enough, now withdraw your hand." The angel of Adonai was then standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of Adonai. Now here he had his spiritual eyes were open, so he saw the angel of Adonai standing between the earth and the heaven with a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. Why? Because they were repenting for, again, the reason why this judgment came. And again, it came by what? That hand of an angel of Yahweh Elohim. Again, they are warriors. They only, again, they respond to the voice of Yahweh Elohim and his word only. And here, again, God called them. Told them to stop. Again, as a result, again, God opened David's eyes and he saw what was going on in the spirit realm. And again, David and the elders here that called forth the leadership and they fell on their faces in repentance. Going forward, 26 and 27, 1 Chronicles 29, David built there an altar to Adonai and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called on Adonai and he answered him with fire from heaven and upon the altar of burnt offerings. Then Adonai commanded the angel and he put his sword back in its sheath. Hallelujah. So we see that the angels are warriors. 2 Chronicles 32:21. Then Adonai sent an angel who annihilated every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he withdrew his in disgrace to his own land. When he entered the house of God, his God, some of their own children struck him down with the sword. So again, his God obviously was HaSatan and his pagan, you know, worship. But here we see God supernaturally by the hand of an angel destroying the camp of Israel's enemies. Yeshua's spiritual warfare and angels. Matthew 4:11. Then Yeshua was led by the Ruach into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil or HaSatan, the adversary. After he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, this was a supernatural fast. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are Ben Elohim, tell these stones to become bread." So here again, we are seeing spiritual warfare. As Yeshua is in the wilderness getting ready for entering into his messianic call. But he replied, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Elohim or Yahweh Elohim." So again, the enemy's tactics have not changed. He pulled the same thing of on Adam and Hava, but they fell for his lies. Yeshua fought him back with the word of Yahweh Elohim. Then the devil or HaSatan took him into the holy city and placed him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are Ben Elohim," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you, and upon their hands they shall lift you up, so you may not strike your foot against a stone." You know, the enemy is very good at twisting scripture for his own purpose. But again, Yeshua was, you know, perfect in every way. And again, how did he fight him back? With the word of God. Yeshua said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put Adonai, your God, or Yahweh Elohim, to the test." Again, HaSatan takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Yeshua says to him, "Go away, HaSatan," or Satan, "for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil or HaSatan leaves him, and behold, angels came and began to take care of him. Again, we see this all through the life of Messiah. His angels, again, taking care of him, strengthening him. Hallelujah. Elvino McKenna, our Father, King Father, we thank you that we will continue to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and revelation of what it means to be a spiritual warrior, how to pray and intercede for the lost, for our friends and families and loved ones who do not know you, to walk in more power of the Ruach HaKodesh and not to give up and to become disciplined in every area of our life, when in the area of prayer and the study of your word. In Yeshua's name, amen.